Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm going to give you a brief update of things that are going on in the ministry here in Kenya, coming to you from Kenya today. We've been having very nice, cool weather, very seasonal weather, about 80 to 85 degrees every day with a chance of showers just about every day. We've had some small showers. Our living water farm, we have 4 acres that we farm out at the children's home. We're preparing to plant maize again, the second crop of maize. This is the short range crop, they call it, the fall crop. And so you get two crops of maize, two crops of beans here in Kenya. And so we're preparing the ground. We just had it plowed a couple of days ago. So we're getting ready next week to plant some maize. And so we're thankful for that, that the Lord has blessed this area with some rain. And so we're having a good preparation time for the crop coming up this fall. We have a desire to build a school for our village children and for the children at the children's home. We have 25 children at the children's home, and we'd like to build a school on an adjoining piece of property that we are in the process of purchasing. And so if you can pray with us about that, about a good school, have 100 to 200 children at the school, a primary school through grade 8. If you would pray with us regarding that, it would be a blessing, and hopefully we can get that school built within the next year and get our children into that school. They're walking about a mile now to school, which isn't a long distance for Africa, but it would be nice to have them going to school very close to the children's home. Well, today we're going to be talking about a subject that is a big subject in the kingdom, and the Lord wants you to know if you are saved. What is salvation? Salvation is the assurance that you have eternal life, that you will be living with Jesus Christ and the angels and Father God in heaven after you die. That is salvation, and you can have that peace of mind. You can have that assurance while you're here on the earth. You can have that assurance, and every night when you lay your head down, you can go to sleep peacefully. And so that is God's will. That is His desire for your life. And many people are confused about salvation. How are you saved? What allows you to be saved? Can you know for sure that you're saved before you die? All of these things and become big questions in people's mind. And God wants you to have that peace that I talked about. He wants you to know that you are saved. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord shows us through the Apostle Paul, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And so this is the first point that Paul makes here, is that by grace you have been saved. And he goes on to say that in verse 6, "And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And so we have a heavenly perspective. Once we are saved, we have a heavenly perspective in the spirit realm. We are sitting with Christ Jesus, and so we can see the life that we have. We can see the earth. We can see the people and the battles, the spiritual battles that you have. We can see them through the perspective of Jesus Christ. You're not actually sitting beside Jesus physically. You're sitting with him in the heavenly places, in the spirit realm, so that you can see things here on this earth from a heavenly perspective. And so why did God save us? Well, Paul tells us that in verse 4 there. He said, "Because of his great love, with which he loved us, It is because of God's mercy that we are saved. It is because of God's love that we are saved. It's through no virtue of our own. It's through no gain or accolades or righteousness of our own. This comes from the heart of God. This comes from the heart of the Father and Jesus Christ, that through their great mercy for us and their great love for us, we are saved. And because of that, we owe a debt to the Lord. Because of that, we love God, even though he loved us first, we love him back. And beloved, that is the whole purpose of life. That is the purpose of your life. You may wonder, why were you born? Why are you on this earth? You have a purpose, a calling, a destiny that you need to walk out, that you need to pursue. And that calling and that destiny is to bring glory to God through your life, to worship him, to love him, to show honor and respect to him, and to bring glory to him through your life. And so then in verse 7, Ephesians 2, Paul says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Well, what is grace? Grace is favor that we don't deserve. It's favor that has been poured out on us that we have not earned. We don't deserve it. We didn't have any righteousness to deserve it. And yet, because of God's grace towards us, then we have that favor and we can be saved. So in verse 7, Paul says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And so that's the second time Jesus says, by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, the gift of his Son and the work that he did on the cross. It is the gift of God. Beloved, when somebody gives you a gift as precious as this, you need to humble yourself. You need to thank the Lord every day when you get up that he gave you another day, that he gave you salvation, that he gave you Jesus Christ, his own Son. On the cross, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, he so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so it is a gift of God when somebody gives you a gift. For those of you who are unsaved, it's like a package you have under your Christmas tree, but you've been keeping it under the tree and you haven't open that package. You need to open that package and pursue what God has for you. Receive the gift of salvation and then pursue what God has for you. And in verse 9, Paul goes on to say that this gift of God, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And so the works that you may do to help people, maybe you take food to people who are sick, maybe you go visit people in the hospital, maybe you join with people on mission trips, maybe you just are a friendly person and you greet people with friendship and with a positive attitude. Many people have many good works. Everybody's idea of good works is a little bit different. But the good works that you have and the goodness that you have cannot get you saved. Paul said that the salvation does not come of works, lest any man should boast. So God doesn't want us to boast about who we are, what we are, the great things, the good things that we do. I give reports about the things that happen here in Kenya, reports of crusades, reports of projects that we have, but I am very careful not to boast. I am very careful not to take glory away from the Lord, vain glory. I want the Lord to get the glory for everything that I do in my life. I want the Lord to know that I am appreciative of the ministry that he has given me, this radio broadcast, the things we do in Africa. And so that is God's plan, that you should not boast, because we are his workmanship and we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, or unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And so God spoke over you. Even before you were born, he spoke over you. He said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1, he said, Jeremiah, even before you were born, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And so God spoke over Jeremiah, his destiny, his calling, those things that he wanted him to do. And then Jeremiah walked into those calling, walked into that calling because he was just a young man, and he said yes. And many times people get calls when they are young, in their teens and 20s, they start to see their destiny. But oftentimes they turn away from it, they walk away from it due to pressure from family or pressure from friends, or the world puts expectations on them that they think they need to do this or that. And so they walk away from their calling, they back away from their calling. And so Paul says that God has spoken over us. He has ordained that we should walk into these works and do these things that God calls us to do, so that we bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus in our life. Well, the greatest work that you can do is just to love God, to repent of your sins, to say yes to Jesus and his call on your life, to say yes to Jesus, yes to the Holy Spirit, and that is the greatest work that you can do in your life. In John 6, 28 and verse 29, Jesus is speaking to the people there, and then they said to Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? In other words, these people were asking Jesus, how can we please God? Is there something we can do to please God? And in verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Beloved, this is the greatest work that you can do. You may be a good person. You may have had a good job your whole life, taking care of your family. Praise God, I'm happy for all of that. So is the Lord. He wants you to be an upright citizen. He wants you to take care of your family. He wants you to protect them, love them, provide for them. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the greatest work that you can do here on this earth while you're walking here is to say yes to Jesus, repent of your sins, and turn to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want you to get the glory and honor for my life. Just as Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And God so loved the world, he sent, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, to believe in that work, believe that God sent his Son, you need to have faith to believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his precious blood for your sin. You need to have faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without that faith, the works that you do are dead. Without that confession that you believe that God sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross, that he was resurrected 3 days later, without that faith and that confession, the works that you do are dead works, because you're not giving glory and honor to God. The light in your life, the light in you is not shining for God, and so the works are dead works. And so I want you to understand this. If you're not saved today, if you have never confessed Jesus as your Lord today, first thing you need to do is to find someone a pastor, a deacon, an elder, somebody that you can confess to, repent to, and know that then you are saved, that the works that you're doing are works that give glory to God in your life. And if you don't know anybody in a church, if you have no church affiliation, no friends who are in leadership in church, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I can lead you into a confession of faith. I can even call you up, talk to you on the phone, or just through email, lead you through a confession of faith. You need to do that because the greatest work, again, the greatest work that you can do is to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and make Him the Lord of your life. Make Him the captain of your soul. And when you do that, then the other works that you do will be the living works that God has ordained for you before the beginning of time. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 10, and Jesus is sending out the apostles here. And in verse 1, he says, after this, the Lord appointed other 70 disciples also, and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place, whether he would come. In other words, he was sending them out to find out if he should go to that place. Verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that is Jesus, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And so these are baby believers, these disciples are baby believers. Most of them have only been walking with Jesus a short time, a few weeks maybe. And so he sends them out to check on places that he may want to go and minister. Well, Matthew 10:8 tells more about this story. As he sends them out, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so he gives them instruction on four things that they should be doing while they're out there speaking to the lost house of Israel. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Well, he had obviously given them authority, and he had given them the power to do these things. He would not be asking them to do this if he had not given them the authority and the power. And so their expectation is that the sick are going to be healed, that the lepers will be cleansed, that the dead will be raised, and that the demons will be cast out. And so as they go out, they do these things, and they come back, verse 17, and Jesus says as they come back, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. Well, he sent them out to cast out demons, so obviously Jesus had an expectation that they had the authority and the power to cast out demons. And so when they come back, they're very excited because the demons are subject to us, they say, through your name. And then Jesus said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In other words, Jesus said, I was there when Satan fell from heaven, so I know the power and the authority that I have over Satan. I know the power and the authority that you have over Satan. And Jesus said, I was there and I saw him fall from heaven just like lightning. And then he says in verse 19, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, beloved, Jesus lays it out there in very simple terms. He said, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions. You have that power today if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You have that power to tread on serpents and scorpions. He's not necessarily speaking about physical serpents and physical scorpions. He's talking about demonic spirits here, things that come against us in the spirit realm. But Jesus emphasizes to the disciples that having power over the demons is not the greatest accomplishment in their life. And that's not the greatest accomplishment. Yes, I've seen demons scream and leave people. I've seen people roll around as the demons were thrashing them. I've seen all kinds of things here in Africa that most people have never seen. But that's not the greatest accomplishment that I have. That's not the greatest accomplishment that Jesus wants me to have. He said in verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Beloved, I came to know the Lord when I was 9 years old, or that's when I was baptized when I was 9 years old. I actually came to know the Lord much sooner than that, as my parents, God bless them, took me to church every Sunday and made sure that I knew about Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And so I was baptized at 9 years old, and my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And beloved, I hope that is your testimony as well. I hope that you can say your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you have not confessed Jesus to someone else, if you have not confessed him and been baptized, immersed with him, beloved, you need to do that. You need to get that straight and get it right. And then you can know that you are saved. Then you can know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I'm going to close up here in 1 John chapter 5. And this is the same John writing this as wrote John, the epistle. And he says here in verse 11, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So that eternal life becomes your testimony. It becomes everything that you are. It becomes an all-encompassing, all aspect of your life. Everything that you do then becomes a purpose that God has given you. Everything that you do becomes a point that God has given you. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life, or does not have eternal life. Verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Well, beloved, that's God's plan for your life, that you continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, John says, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And beloved, God is a great God. He is a merciful God. He is a kind God. He wants you to know that when you ask for things in his will, he will give them to you. It may not come the next day. It may not come the next week. But if you are patient, God will provide for you the things that you need. You've never seen his children begging bread, and he will provide the things that you need. The birds don't beg for bread, and we don't need to either. God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord of provision. And so these things then will be provided for us if it is the will of God, the things that we are asking for. And so, beloved, I hope your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you've made a mistake through your life of just thinking being a good person or the good works that you do has brought you salvation, but you're really anxious about your death, you really don't know if you have salvation, and you can get rid of that anxiety, you can get rid of that turmoil in your life if you just say yes to Jesus. Find somebody to confess to, or again, you can email me, pureprairie@hotmail, and I'll lead you to someone who you can confess to, be baptized, immersed into Christ Jesus, and then you can have that assurance, that peace that passes all understanding. Well, Gathered, the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for all these years that we have been able to bring these messages to you. If you'd like to be a part of supporting this ministry, we'd love to have your support. We invite you to sit down today, write out a note, let us know you're listening, send us a check to Gather the Outcast so we can put that money to work, keeping these radio broadcasts going and keeping the projects going that we have here in Africa. We're preparing for a crusade over in Tanzania in September in Arusha, Tanzania. And so we're looking forward to that. We need provision for that. And so if you'd like to join in supporting that, we'd love to hear from you. Do it today and you will be blessed. We will be blessed. The kingdom of God can move forward then here in Africa. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.